Lovely. For those of you, or one or two new faces, it's lovely to see you. But just that you know, we've been doing a series in John, looking at the seven signs or seven miracles that are referenced in John's book, or John's gospel. And we're going to continue that now. So as I said, if you have your Bible, please jump to John chapter 9. The whole chapter is taken up with the story and John's account of it. And obviously having two girls and a wife that was a ballerina, I'm learning a little bit more about scenes and takes and, you know, acts and all of these type of things. Not acts the book, acts in terms of, you know, anyway. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the first scene. Okay, so John chapter 9, verse 1 through to 12. I just want to read it quickly, give us a little bit of context. So as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming, then no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he said, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." I am the man. Jacob, you said that a few times. Hey, I am the man. Hey. Hey. I say that before I play you at squash, just to kind of give myself self-courage, a bit of a pep talk. "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see." That's just scene one. You know, it goes on, scene two. You could argue there's a scene three or a third act, second act. How am I doing, babe? All the right terms? Yeah, yeah. See, that's why I played rugby and cricket and didn't do drama. But what I want to do today is just focus on this first portion of scripture and just ask three questions. Where, why, and what? I love that we've already touched on, as John was just praying out for us there, about the why and the what. So firstly, where? Now, when you think of where, my first thing is, where were they? It's a geographical situation, and I don't want to focus on that today. That is, as Stu was talking about in introducing that new song to us, God works generationally. God works linearly through us. And I want to ask the where question from a linear perspective. Verse 3 says, this incredible moment happened for such a time as this. For such a moment as this. And as Stu said, God works with us linearly, through history, through generations. And I want to zone in, just micro laser focus on the moment. We know there's 60 seconds in a minute, there's 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, and 52 weeks in a year. And you can thank this next bit to my wife and my girls. There are 525,600 minutes. I'm not going to sing the song to Rent, okay? Until about 4 weeks ago, I didn't even know that song existed, let alone the movie. But it's a musical. It's not even a movie. See, I tell you, that's why I stick to cricket and rugby. But in knowing I was preaching the song, you have these serendipitous moments, and my girls will blast the song on repeat that I end up going to work singing 525,600 minutes. Okay. But in doing that, it's actually struck me in this preach how Jesus was caught up in the minute, in the moment. In chapter 8, the chapter before, Jesus the Pharisees had literally just tried to stone Jesus. He was fleeing for his life. I don't know if you, but I don't like the idea of having cricket balls thrown at me too often, let alone stones. Okay. But he was running away from death. And in that moment, he still stopped to look at a blind man on the side of the road. And we've been doing this Call to Influence series. We've been talking through bringing an impact in the situations that we find ourselves in, even in our family, you know, in our work situations. But how often do we run through places and we don't even stop? We're just getting our job done. I've found this so often, running through the door. Karen Kirchner, who read the course, saying sometimes you've got to stop at the door, take a breath before you enter into your workplace. And it's something so simple, but I actually find myself trying to remind myself every morning when I get out of my car and walk towards work, God, how can I be an ambassador this morning? And yet so many times I get home and I've missed a moment. I haven't acknowledged a coworker who probably could have just done, you can't hug people nowadays in the workplace. That's not, you know, PC. Not that I've really ever done that. But you know, it's just, sometimes you just want to give people a hug because they've had an amazing moment. One of our ladies in our office got engaged. Yeah. Another lady had her 60th, I want to say 50th in case this ever gets heard. and we got together and bought her flowers and we just said, we just love, I was new in the business and I said, I love, you know, your bubbly personality. You're a glass half full person. She started crying. You know, such a, just an amazing moment. They could have just been, here, have some flowers, let's go on with the cake. You know, they're actually just taking a moment, just like Jesus did in this situation, to bring light. You know. And we're saying today, sometimes we're in a battle, we need peace in our lives. You know, we're just rushing. We've got two girls, you know, and they are busy. You know, life right now feels like 100 miles an hour. And it's like, I wouldn't change it, so don't hear what I'm not saying. I love it, you know. But sometimes it's just, you're so busy, you miss the moment. You know, I want to apologize in front of you, everyone, my babe. It's a number of times I've missed the moments with you, yeah. And yet I read the scripture, and I'm so challenged. Not just with my family and my wife, you know, but how much more. And that brings me to my second point. Why? Why did John write this story, this sign into this gospel? Why? And Jesus alludes, he says, I am the light of the world. And it's not just that I want to have a happy life, and a happy wife means a happy life. You know, we have something in us through Jesus that is so intrinsic, and as we alluded to in the worship as well, beyond measure, priceless, cannot be paid for in any shape or form. And in this story, we see Jesus heals the man's eyes in the natural. He restored his sight, but Jesus wasn't just focusing on the physical, but the spiritual. And it's an example to us that sometimes we just need to stop and give someone a hug or give them flowers or take a moment to say, I love how bubbly your personality is. You make everyone in the office, you know, so excited to be around. You know, maybe it's just noticing that, you know, like I haven't bought my wife roses for a few weeks, you know. Yeah, maybe that's just a challenge. I missed that moment. I ran through Marks and Spencer a few days ago, and I was like, oh, I get flowers. Oh, well, I've got to get all the other things. Don't forget. And by the time I got the other things, I forgot the flowers. Yeah. And it's a small thing in that relationship. But how much more do we carry when we're in circumstances and situations around us where we have the opportunity to say a nice word to a colleague? And maybe not just a nice word, but to actually say, as Stu sang, Jesus is the answer. You might be struggling with that situation. We had a lady at work who doesn't cope with stress. And our business a few months ago had an international criminal cyber attack. Yeah. And she had to take time off work because she just couldn't deal with the pressure of that situation. And it's like, that can't be fixed with, you're going to be better, just muscle through it. You know, you got to just pick up and step off a lip and all these things, you know. It's actually the hope that we have is to say, actually, can I tell you about Jesus? Yeah, and Jesus is doing that and showing us, and John's writing this into this chapter to say that actually what we carry isn't just a physical solution. It's a spiritual and eternal solution. In chapter 8, he says, before Abraham I am. I'm just reminded, and that for me ties back to Genesis chapter 1, where before the world was formed, before the sun was there, Jesus was there. There was darkness over the world, but Jesus was. You know, and in your situation, as we were praying for peace, and we were thinking that we need peace, and I need just our life to slow down a little bit, you know, Jesus' example to us is that no matter what darkness you might find yourself in, he was there before it. And as he comes and brings healing to the man in the physical sense, John is trying to show us and open up our eyes to see actually that the light that came to the man wasn't just physical healing. It was an example that he is the savior of the world, the creator of the world, who was there at the beginning. And in the darkness, in that spiritual sense, where we see, where we're still in darkness, Jesus comes to bring light. Jesus stopped under extreme pressure. We've all been challenges. I wouldn't be standing here preaching today if it wasn't for this church, with some of the challenges that we faced. And I think no matter how big those challenges would be, there's nothing better than running for your life. I've come close to that in terms of the fact that I'll be stabbed in the head in South Africa. I kind of got an idea of a life or death situation. I've been involved in the ocean and swimming and life saving, and I've actually had to swim out and rescue people who were drowning. You know, those are life and death situations. Those are heavy situations. And my thoughts, first thoughts in times like that is, actually, I don't know if I would stop to just tell you about Jesus while I'm busy giving you mouth to mouth. You know, maybe if you weren't breathing, I need to pray and call on the name of Jesus, and hopefully we have resurrection. But how often do we just get into situations where we think we cannot cope? It's so overwhelming. Yet Jesus, under extreme, extreme pressure, stopped. Stopped in the moment, that 1 minute of the 525,000 in that year, in the 3 years of his life, 1.6 million minutes. In 1.6 million minutes, look at the impact that his life had on the life of the world. And we've just lost 15 minutes listening to me so far. Think of the impact that you could have if we start to look for moments in spite of how dark the situations are around us. Leading to my third question, what? Well, I've always said something, whenever I preach, it's got to be an application. You know, what are you? It's like sometimes you just got to let people think about it and let them kind of simmer in it. You don't want to just hand them the five things on the plate. Sometimes when you learn things and do it yourself, you actually grasp it more. But in this case, and I actually do want to, on this occasion, I actually do want to say, what does this mean for us? And the challenge is, as much as it is a what, it is a challenge to us, is can we see, or can we be the people who see the moments? I was in Trowbridge. I had to fly down for a seminar or training seminar last week or week before? Week before. And on the flight on the way home, there was two empty seats in the plane, and I actually got the one next to me. So it's always cool when there's a full plane and you're literally the only guy sitting with a space next to you. And I think I actually might have been the only person. But on this flight, the guy that I was originally sitting next to, because my seat number said I was E and the guy next to me was F. I'm not going to stereotype. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. A nice African man, you know, big headphones on, baggy pants, kind of like Ben, a little bit bigger, different color. Same shoes, pretty much, yeah. Big headphones. So flight takes off. As they close the doors, I jump the seat because, you know, I'm pretty sure he doesn't want me sitting next to him the rest of the flight. I'm also pretty sure I don't want to be sitting next to him the rest of the flight. It's almost a front row. We just needed someone on this side, and that would have been a good Springbok scrum. So move into the space. And next thing, he takes out his laptop, and he opens up, from what I can see, is a sound production app. I want to say ProLogic or Logic, but he was using Adobe or something. So try not to be nosy, but like I can see he's starting to listen, and I can see he's mixing beats, and it's not quite the spinning deck DJ stuff, but you know. But as he logged in, I could see it was a hip hop, like that's his name, yeah. is Handel. Thank you. It's Alter Ego. Yeah. And so I'm watching him mix these songs, and in my spirit, I'm just going, I get the words muted hi-hat. I'm a little bit of a muso. I can play the drums very basically, a 4-4 rhythm, but don't ask me to do a fancy thing or a 3-4 or a swing notes. I can just do basic drums, you know, but I know enough, you know, to kind of help me with my bass, because I know bass and drum, you know, you kind of work together. I get muted hi-hats. Like, how do you mute a hi-hat? Because I'm thinking, I'm puzzling, and I'm like, tell him he's got a muted hi-hat, you know, or ask him if, you know, muted hi-hat means anything to him, you know. And I wish the story ended better, but I didn't, in spite of the challenge of reading the scripture and sitting on this John chapter 9 for the last four or five weeks, and knowing that after that encounter I'll be preaching in 2 or 3 weeks' time, you know, to say, I missed a moment. I'd love to think I said, hey, buddy, sorry, I know you're busy, can I trouble you? Hey, doesn't muted hi-hat mean anything to you? And he goes, oh, yes, my granny used to, like, play in the church, and, you know, she was on the drums, and because it was so loud, she used to put a cloth over the hi-hat, and that muted the hi-hat, and suddenly this guy's reminded of God, has his John, or the Saul moment, heaven's part, you know. His name changes to Paul. Next thing, this guy's the next Billy Graham, and he's changing Scotland, you know. But he got off the plane, and maybe he doesn't know that God loves him like maybe his gran loved God. But I'm standing here preaching and telling you a story of how I failed to miss a moment. Because how often do we miss a moment? How often do we walk past the elderly person, and I always love to try and find their names and look for their name tag and just call them by their names. Because a lot of the time, and I've seen this, you talk about hospitality. Hi, good morning, sir. How are you doing? Can I have a flat white? Okay. Sorry, so I asked how you're doing. Yeah, how's your day going? Yeah. And I've been on that side of the coin so many times. I'm just trying to engage with you, just tell you you're nice, you know, have a good day, how are you doing? Try and bring a smile. Yeah. And it's just like, flat white. Yeah. Well, okay, thanks. Yeah, carry on. Yeah. And it's how often do we miss those moments where someone could just actually want them to say, hey, thank you for serving me. Thank you for checking out my groceries. Yeah. Thank you for putting up with all the abuse as a bus driver or a train driver in this country, when you should be grateful for the fact that you actually have buses and trains that run on time. And if you have an issue with that, please come and talk to me. I'm from Africa. I can tell you about African time. Yeah. But every time I get on a train or a bus, and I see like people just having a go at the bus driver, or you see the signs, foul language is not appreciated. You know, we try and treat you with courtesy. Please treat us with that. Yeah. How many moments has that bus driver endured, or that checkout counter clerk endured, for the negative? And so, what is the application for us? Well, it's a challenge. Look for the moment. As we see in the scripture, Jesus, under extreme, extreme pressure, stopped to show people that he is the light of the world. And as Christians in this room today, with that light in our lives, a value beyond measure, intrinsic, we have something to give, regardless of whether you think you're qualified or not. And so can I say, stop and bring the light, and be a light bringer.